Not only would I rather wrestle a couple of drill instructors because of the size of the crowd, but it is because some of these gentlemen are in here. There's a lot of able-bodied ministers in here, and y'all have managed to scrape the bottom of the barrel, but I trust the Lord's in it, so I'm going to just go ahead and trust the Lord and his faithfulness and begin to preach. I do beg an interest in your prayers this evening as I preach. If any man preaches, truly preaches, and the Lord is blessed to be seen in a service, it is because the Lord has chosen to bless that man, that vessel, to deliver a message. And we've seen that quite a bit this evening and this morning and last night. As a matter of fact, a few of the things that have been discussed throughout all the services, there's a theme to me that I have, well, I'll just say it this way, I needed it. Even though I've been liberated and I haven't been ordained, I've been preaching quite a bit for a little over a year, and I don't get the opportunity to sit in a congregation and hear good preaching. Many times I listen to the radio I'll just tell you, you're not going to find a whole lot of sound preaching on the radio. Some of these speakers that are out there, most of my time is refuting what I hear on the radio. So, to hear good preaching, maybe some of you have seen me get emotional. I don't usually do that or make a habit of it. I've made more of a habit of it recently. As older I get, the more emotional I've become. But these few days of service, it's what I needed. It's what I desire. And whether I preach tonight or not, I want to tell you and confess to you that I got what I came for. The Lord has renewed my spirit. He's renewed my mind. He's given me a new hunger. And he's reminded me of some things that I should never have forgotten about. I want to take your minds to Psalms 103 for just a little bit. While you're turning there, I'll go ahead and tell you I have a halls in my mouth. I didn't expect to preach, so I've been singing with all my might, and I've pretty much lost my voice. And I just don't have much of one. There was a joke in the old order that I came out of, a preacher that didn't know. He just really didn't know how to preach and didn't know how long to preach. So he began to put certs in his mouth, and he began to, at the end of that cert, he knew that it was about 30 minutes and it was time to shut up. And that worked well for him until he got a hold of a button. I want to make sure y'all know I don't have a button in my mouth. It is a hole, so I'm not going to go over about an hour. I'm just kidding. This psalm is, before we got here, I began reading this psalm even before I got here. Hadn't heard a bit of preaching, hadn't heard anything. The Lord laid this on my mind. I just couldn't get away from it. And I thought it was for preaching Sunday morning. And the more I heard brethren speak last night and this morning, the more I realized that it was for this time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, I want to stop right there just a moment. Have you heard any of the benefits of being a child of God in the last few services? Have you been reminded of those things? Maybe the pastors or the elders have not pointed out to say, you know, waving a flag to say, hey, this is a benefit of being a child of God. Well, Psalms 103 spells that out very clearly for us. He says, "Who bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You'll see there, that's not a period. It's not an exclamation point. It's not a question mark. He's going to tell you what those benefits are. In verse 3, he says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases?" Is there a sin that he has not forgiven you of as a child of God? Is there anything that you have done that you need to carry to the grave with you and not have faith that God himself, through his son Jesus Christ, has allowed and suffered to be forgiven? Is there anything that you question in your own life or in your past? I have found that even among the primitive Baptists, there are people that will go to their grave remembering things that they've done in their youth. Oh, Brother Shane, I've been such a bad person, you just don't understand, and sometimes these things come up. I want to reassure you tonight that one of the benefits of being a child of God is that all of your iniquity, every bit of it, was forgiven. Even the things that you hide in your little closet that you don't want the church members to know about, or your mother or your dad to know about. I can tell you that even though I know I've been forgiven, there's some things in my past that I want to keep there. I don't want them coming back up. And I can tell you sometimes those old sins, it's easy for me to just understand that I've been forgiven of them. I get that. Where I struggle in my own life are those new sins. The ones where you should have known better. You know you're forgiven. You know the truth. The love of God should constrain you to do better, to want to do better, to long to do better. And yet sin shows up in my members. Some of the most righteous times that I've had in my life in terms of studying the Bible and feeling the presence of God, go home and have a dream that is absolutely ungodly. Where does it come from? How can that be? And immediately my mind is consumed with things that are drug up from my past. There's no way you can be a child of God. There's no way that he could love you. He knows how bad you've been. He knows who you are. I'm going to tell you, the only thing, no matter how many times you've heard it, no matter how many times you've sat in a pew and just gone to sleep over the preaching of the gospel, the only thing that brings a man out of that absolute horror is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be reminded of the benefits of being a child of the King. Forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, Brother Shane, are you saying that the psalmist is saying that every disease we have, he's going to heal? No. Not the ones of the flesh. As this brother mentioned earlier, Brother Mark, I believe, we're going to get old. The gospel has an effect of the fact that I'm going to get old, that he's going to get old, that one day he's not going to be able to preach the gospel. He's not going to be here sitting amongst you. And I won't be sitting amongst my family. One day there will be dirt thrown in my face. The wages of sin is what? The gospel doesn't change that from the perspective of this flesh. We have to watch it. We have to see it. We have to experience it. But I can assure you the disease of your soul has been healed. That new man is walking around without a disease. There is no disease within him. He doth not sin. And even though you've been brought to life and you're stepping out of the grave and you have grave clothes on as Lazarus did and you stink to high heaven, I want to remind you the new man that is within you is alive. Without a disease, he has been healed. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee, I love this, with loving kindness and tender mercies. Did you realize you've been crowned with tender mercies and loving kindness? Verse 5 says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I want to tell you that's a picture of his providence in feeding you. If you look at the order of these, he gives life and he cures disease, and you've been forgiven of these iniquities of yours, and he satisfies your mouth with food, good things, that restores your energy as these eagles. Eagle hunts and he soars all over the place and wears himself out until he finds some food, and it's supplied and his strength is renewed. My prayer for you tonight, that somewhere amongst the services that you've been renewed, that spiritual food that's been laid out on the master's table that you've taken a bite of has renewed you in some way. It is my prayer, because I've witnessed it in my own life. I've only been doing this for almost a year, and I can tell you I've gotten tired. I don't see how these ministers have done it for so long. At least not ended up in the insane asylum. Y'all may see me there in one of those jackets, you know. I hope, brother, that you'll come see me and preach to me, if that be the case. This order that happens, we see in election, and we see in our near kinsman, Redeemer. All of the pictures that the Bible uses to show a child of God, to produce the evidence. And the last one is from a benefit perspective. One of the last ones, I'll say it that way, is one of my favorites. Verse 6 says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Did he say he was going to set them free, all of them, from the perspective of the flesh? There were plenty of slaves that were believers that continued to be slaves. The New Testament teaches that. Slaves, be subject unto your master. There's a whole world of people preaching that if you just come to the gospel, if you just accept the gospel, all is going to be well in your life in terms of the flesh. I want to tell you, it's absolutely the opposite. Quite the opposite. You young folks, absolutely the opposite. He said, not only is it given unto you to believe in him, but to what? Suffer. Now there's a subject nobody wants to discuss, brother. Suffer for his sake. You want to get an odd look out of Christians today, tell them we're supposed to be suffering for Christ. What do you mean, brother? That I have to suffer for Christ. I mean suffering for righteousness' sake. Doing what's right because it is right. Following the word of God, not because it's the popular thing to do amongst the brethren, but because it's the right thing to do. You keep a good circle of friends, it's very easy to quote scripture and talk about the things of the world and do what's right. But get out in front of people that are, well, they look like Amalekites. They attack you on the left, attack you on the right, attack you from behind, and you just can't get away from them. They're always in front of you. Try to do it then. Got to stand on the word of God and suffer for it. That's what you've been called to do. And even through this suffering, he's still merciful. He gives you grace to endure the suffering in which he has called you to. All things that you are in need of, he has provided. Not because you're so good, not because I'm so good, not because I preach the gospel, but because he is so good. And no other reason. Verse 7 is one of my favorites from the perspective of the whole idea of what is being said here. It says that he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. We find in the New Testament that the things written aforetime are here for our learning, and we're instructed to go back and look at all of the things that happened from Moses all the way through the prophets and look for Christ. And it's for our instruction. I want to tell you, not only did the Lord give you life, he cured your diseases, that he's provided for you in all things from the perspective of providence throughout your entire life. Even through the suffering that he's called you to. But he's done one thing that amazes me, and that is he has worked diligently to let you know that he has. Brother Tom uses this analogy a lot when he is preaching at Middleton Creek. He's used it enough that it's stuck. I'm kind of slow, so brother, you might want to find another analogy now. This one, I got it now. he says, just look at it like this. If you had a debt that was just out of this world, you knew you couldn't pay it, and say I came along and I paid that debt off for you, but I didn't tell you, what good would it do you here? Wouldn't it affect every decision you make as you walk through life? Well, I can't have a steak this week. Matter of fact, I won't be eating steak for a while. I better just settle for this cupcake, Twinkie. But what if somebody paid that debt off and then let you know about it? Wouldn't that change the way you think? Wouldn't that change the way you operate? Shouldn't it put a smile on your face? Wouldn't it change your outlook? And not only that, I'm going to add to that analogy, brother, but not only have I paid your debt off, but I'm going to make you joint heirs with a king. That this eternal life that you have will be in his presence. Where the last tear has been wiped away, there is no pain, there is no sorrow, there is no suffering any longer. You can place that shield of faith down finally, and that sword, there's no need for it because you'll be in heaven with him in immortal glory. He's gone to great lengths to let you know. I want to remind you, he did not do this in the Old Testament from the covenants that have been given. That wasn't for the Amalekite, the Moabite, or anyone else. It was for the Israelite. You mean the Lord made distinction? You mean he called a group of people and didn't bless others? That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. He has called you by name. a name that he knew before the foundation of the earth, and he still loved you. He knew that you were going to look like a goat, but he called you a sheep. He knew you were going to act like a goat, but he still made you a sheep. What a blessing that is to understand and to know. And shouldn't we act differently because we do? Once a child of God understands and knows the doctrines of election and believes it and understands it and loves it and desires to hear it, how can you be offended by anyone else? How can you be offended? You may get that way, but how can you stay offended? I used to walk around angry all the time. My face, I can't help it. I just look that way. So I got accused of it, so therefore I was that way. If I'm going to get accused of it, I might as well be that way. I stayed offended. But when you begin to understand that the Lord loved you, called you, redeemed you, justified you, and you had absolutely nothing to do with it, how can you look across the pew at a brother in the church or even someone at your work and say, I'm better than you? How is that possible? How is it possible to stay offended knowing that you are a child of God? We got reminded about his word. Brother, I want to thank you for that. And how truthful and reliable this word is. I want to tell you, one of the reasons why the Lord is so absolutely serious about his word, I'll give you two reasons to take home with you. Number one, the only authority a king is under is his own word. Do you realize that? That's the only authority that a king is under. If I'm wearing the crown and you're my subjects, the only thing that I'm bound to is my own word. He's serious about that word. And the last thing is, this entire book, everything that is here is meant for his glory. It is letters written to his bride. And I'm going to tell you something. What man in here is not serious about his bride? You're not much of a man, if that's the case, in my opinion. You want to see me show my flesh, mess around with my wife. Quickest way to get me there. Because I'm serious about my wife. I have loved her with an eternal love in my own mind. I want to tell you, the Lord is jealous over you, his bride. He's jealous from the perspective of his word. He's jealous from the perspective of how you get treated from the pulpit to the pew. That means that you folks in the pew looking across the pew need to treat each other with love and no other way. A minister behind this pulpit preaching to the Lord's sheep, they are the Lord's. They are not to flog his sheep. They're not my sheep. They're not any of these gentlemen's sheep. They're the Lord's sheep. Amen. These are the benefits. The overwhelming benefits of a child of God. Remind yourself of them. The last one that I want to get into very briefly. Verse 9, he says, I will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. I want to stop right there just for a moment. I want to tell you another benefit. Chastisement. What are you saying, brother? You can ask my children, they get chastised. And if you went to them and told them that's a benefit, they would call you crazy. I understand that. That chastisement is a reminder. I love you. I love you. Proof that you are his. When we go out in town, I don't chastise someone else's children. If they're acting unruly, I let them go. They're not mine. I'm not paying taxes on them. But as soon as one of my children that I'm responsible for begins to act unruly, it's time to remind them of who I am, who their mother is, and who they are. You see? You're not just out here shining just because you want to shine, boy. You're mine. You got my name on you. And even though that chastisement hurts, and it's so painful, so many ways. One, to understand that you have failed. And even at your age that you've brushed your knees, made a fool of yourself. To even realize that you need chastisement. Very humbling. And it hurts. But not only is it proof that you are his, bought, paid for, adored, and loved, but it produces something within the own child, his own child. A peaceable fruit of righteousness. Even the chastisement of God upon you is a benefit. He does not chastise the wicked, only his own children. He says in verse 13, he says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remember that we are dust. Just about every sermon that you've heard since the other night until tonight, you can find right here in Psalm 103. Benefits of the child of God. Don't let your soul forget them. Don't let the world strip them from you with trying to tell you that this word of God has too many conflicts in it. There's no way it could be true. Don't let your life become so encumbered that you forget to remember the benefits of being a child of God. I thank you for your kind attention, brother.
Blessed Jesus.